Good morning to all of you, and welcome to our program today on the will of God and the life and the writings of Louisa Picaret. It's a joy to be with you. I'm Father Robert Young. So I invite you to share with me this prayer as we begin today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you today for the gift of life and most of all for giving us your own life, the life of the Most Holy Trinity to dwell in us, to live in us and move in us and have its being in our being. We invite the will of the Most Holy Trinity today to come now and think in our thoughts and listen in our listening and speak in our speaking. May every thought, word, and deed be a perfect act of love, thanksgiving, and glory on behalf of all souls of all time. And in this month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we ask especially, dear Lord, that you would grant us all of the graces, the blessings, the attributes of the hearts of Jesus and Mary, where the divine will reigns perfectly now and always. And we make our prayer through Christ our Lord. We ask you, Blessed Mother, Immaculate Heart of Mary, teach us to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us, Saint Ephrem, and all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we continue today with our study of Volume 12 of the Book of Heaven. This most wonderful work, one of the greatest works of spirituality in the history of the Church, and one of the longest as well, 36 volumes dedicated to the divine science of the will of God, as it's come to be known certainly throughout the history of the Church and even before the Church, but also in a very special way now through this private revelation given to Louisa Picaret. So we want to jump right in today and continue with passage February 8th, 1921. Jesus is preparing an era of love, the era of his third fiat. Louisa writes, "This morning, after having received Holy Communion, I heard in my interior my always beloved Jesus, who said, 'O iniquitous world, you are doing everything to chase me from the face of the earth, to banish me from society, from the schools, from conversations, and from everything. You are plotting how to demolish temples and altars, how to destroy my church and kill my ministers. And I am preparing an era of love, the era of my third fiat. You will go about trying to banish me, and I will confound you with love. I will follow behind you. I will meet you head on to confound you in love. Where you have banished me, I will erect my throne. And I will reign there more than before, but in a more surprising manner, so much so that you will fall down at the foot of my throne as bound by the force of my love.'" So Jesus is promising us a new era. You know, this was the era proclaimed so often by Pope John Paul II, our beloved and blessed John Paul II. And now, continuing in the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI, speaking always of a new era that God wants to reign upon the earth. And we know that that era is the work of the Holy Spirit, because this is the age of the Holy Spirit since Pentecost. This is the era of sanctification and the bringing to completion of the first two works of God, which are creation and redemption, as spelled out in our catechism. So Jesus is saying, while you on earth are trying to get rid of me and persecute me and my church, I am all about a new era. You know, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds all the more. It's the greatest era of mercy the world has ever known, as Jesus revealed to Saint Faustina. So he says, you go around trying to banish me, but I will confound you with love. It's a wonderful expression of Jesus here to say, no matter what you do to try to get rid of me, I'm going to remain. And not only that, I'm going to love you so much that you'll be so confused and confounded by my love that you won't know what to do. And so Jesus goes on and says, ah, my daughter, the creature is always racing more and more into evil. How many machinations of ruin they are preparing. And of course, this is 1921, which is at the end of World War I and preparing for World War II. So certainly they're developing new machinery, new weaponry to cause more devastation on the face of the earth. They will go so far as to exhaust themselves in evil. It's exactly what happened during the Second World War. The world was simply exhausted by the evil that had been done and millions of people killed. But while they occupy themselves in going their way, I will occupy myself with the completion and fulfillment of my fiat voluntas tua, so that my will reign on earth, but in a completely new manner. So certainly God's will has reigned on earth. It reigned in Jesus. It reigned in Mary. It reigns in the church to a large extent, certainly more so in some places and times than in others. But he's saying now this reign of God's will, this coming of the kingdom of God's will to earth as it reigns in heaven, is going to be in a wholly new way. And that means it's going to be more complete, it's going to be more divine, and it's going to be more universal. Why? Because it's the will of God now reigning in the soul of individuals like Louisa, like you and me, that this is going to happen. He says, I will occupy myself to prepare the era of the third fiat, in which my love will be demonstrated in a marvelous and unheard of way. See, God is love. God is one eternal act of love. So as God's will reigns more and more on earth, so love, God's love, will reign, of course, more and more on earth as well. Ah, yes, I want to confound mankind with love. See, that's love is what's going to finally confuse man so much and confound him. Confound is an even more powerful word because it means it will almost stop him dead in his tracks. Therefore, he says, be attentive. I want you with me to prepare this era of heavenly and divine love. And for this, we will work together. See, this is Louisa's mission. It's her vocation in life. Her calling is to help and to be with Jesus, to collaborate with him in preparing this era, which is going to come through her life, through her writings, and, of course, after her death, the writings will continue to be diffused throughout the world as they are now in almost every country on earth in many, many languages, all of the major languages of the world. So this is Jesus' preparing of an era of love. Now, of course, we're not saying that this era is going to be in any way a break or a separation from the work of God in history. You know, in the history of salvation. No, it's part and parcel of all of it. But we know that God has done three works, and we know that the Holy Trinity, which we just celebrated on Sunday, has these three major, if you will, operations that it has done outside of itself to create the universe, to redeem mankind and all of creation, and then to sanctify humanity to help us return back into this kingdom of God's will. So these are the three works of God. And he's saying that this third era, this third work of God, this third fiat, is, of course, all the work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if it's the work of the Holy Spirit, it's the work of love, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love of the Father and the Son, which is now poured forth into our hearts, St. Paul says, and through us poured out upon the earth. This is the Spirit that hovered over creation at the beginning, that, of course, is the Spirit of Jesus that animated him in his own life and all that he did, and our Blessed Mother, Mary by grace and Jesus by nature. But now it's the Spirit that wants to work in us and in the church to bring to completion what the Father and the Son have already done. This is the mission of the Holy Spirit, if you will, to operate in us and to do it on behalf of everyone so that perfect, complete love and glory can all be returned to the source of life which is our Holy Father, the Eternal Father in heaven. So Jesus says, "This now I want you together with me, Louisa." And he's saying to you and to me, "I want you, my child, to carry out this mission with me, to create the world with me, to redeem it and to sanctify it with me." So we continue with 8 days later on February 16th, 1921. "In order to enter into the divine volition, it is sufficient to take away the obstacle," in parentheses, the human will, because after all, that is the only one real obstacle to the divine will reigning, is our own human will. That was the obstacle for Adam and Eve, and it's been that way ever since. This is the obstacle that we put up, not the devil. The devil has no power over us if our human will doesn't give it to the devil. So it's our human will that really is what can interfere, can be the obstacle and the hindrance to our living in God's will. And then Jesus says, "It is sufficient to want it, and then everything else is done. If you just put your will into getting rid of your will, put your will instead into God's will rather than willing your own willing, so that we will God's will with our human will, then," he says, "everything else will take care of itself." It's as Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom, the reign of God's, and God's will, and all the rest will be given." If that's really what we're about, then everything else will flow from it. So Louisa says, "While I was thinking about the holy divine volition, the divine willing of the Trinity, my sweet Jesus said to me, 'My daughter, to enter into my volition, there are neither paths, nor doors, nor keys, because my volition is found everywhere.'" It's a wonderful statement because it's so true. There's nothing that exists in creation outside of God's will. And therefore, he says, you don't need to go through a door. You don't need a key to open the door. You don't need a path to find out how to get there. Why? Because God's will is everywhere. It's simply a matter of accepting it, knowing what it is, embracing it, receiving it, and loving it. He says it runs beneath the feet, to the right and to the left, over the head, and everywhere. The creature doesn't have to do anything but remove their own will. Jesus calls it here the pebble of your own will. That's all you have to do. Now, you don't remove it by getting rid of it. What he's saying is you remove that pebble, and if you've ever walked, I'm sure you have, with a pebble in your shoe or a rock, you know how painful and awkward it is. You're just not able to walk well. So he's saying this pebble now in the shoe is your human will that's keeping you from walking correctly and freely and happily in the will of God. So he says, you don't remove it by getting rid of it. And he'll explain this, of course, many other times in other places. You remove it in a sense, and only metaphorically, by not allowing it to interfere with God's will. In other words, not using your human will in any wrong way, which is contrary to the will of God. So he says, the creature doesn't have to do anything but remove this little pebble of your will, which in spite of being in my will, because it was created in God's will, neither takes part in it, nor does it enjoy the effects of God's will, making itself a stranger to my volition. You see, this is our free choice. We have the choice and the freedom to use that will, that act of willing, as we want. For good or for bad, for God or for ourselves, you say, for sin or for God's glory. This is because the pebble of her will impedes my volition from flowing in her. Remember that word volere in Italian, which is translated volition here, is actually a verb. So think of it as an action word in English. We call them action nouns, which is like a gerund or a participle. So we would say, my willing to do something, which is a verb but also a noun. So he's saying, it's this little pebble of your will that's getting in the way, that keeps the divine will from flowing throughout your life, your soul, your body. Just as water in flowing onto the shore runs elsewhere because it is impeded by the stones on the shore. We've all seen the waves come in on the seashore, and how anything that's on the shore, of course, will prevent that wave from covering the earth, and so the water has to go around it. And he's saying that's just how it is with God's will. It's got to go around all of the little obstacles we put up, you know, to God's will. All the little ways that we want to assert our desire, our preferences, our willfulness apart from God's willing in our lives. But then he says, if the soul removes the pebble of her will, in that very same instant, she, the soul, flows in me and I in her. Easier said than done. How do you remove that pebble? You know, if it were only as easy as taking it out of our shoe, that would be very easy. But of course, it's the work of our entire lives, is to that pebble, that hindrance of our human will that is the product, the effect of original sin, is something we all struggle with all of our lives, isn't it? So he says, my volition then takes the commitment of everything. When we decide to put that human will aside, then he says, my divine will and its commitment to act in you takes over. And he says, it overcomes everything and giving her what she lacks. So if you're unable to do something, all you have to say is, Lord, I give you my will. Come and act in me and in my will, and I give it to you to act in your will. And then he says, I will make up for whatever you cannot do. And it makes her soar in the interminable, that is the endless, boundless boundaries of God's will. God's will has no boundaries. It is God himself, therefore it's infinite and eternal. There are no boundaries to God's will. So when you're in God's will, you're in everything and everywhere. It is all the opposite for the other virtues. How many efforts they require. How many combats. How many long ways. Moreover, while it seems that the virtues smile, a little violent passion, a temptation, an unexpected encounter throws her back and places her at the beginning. See, while we can seem to be so in control of our lives with our human will, you know, got it all under control, he says it takes so little, a little passion, a little temptation, an unexpected encounter, an insult, a resistance to our will, and it throws us back right to the very beginning. So he says, for all the other virtues, how many efforts they require, you see. To grow in virtue is a discipline. It's forming habits, good habits. But he says, when you live in my will, it's the divine will that gives you its virtues. And therefore, all the virtues and attributes of God himself, those of Jesus, those of Mary, all of the perfection of God, all of the charity, the love of God, the patience of God, the mercy of God, all that is contained in God himself. He says, that's all given to you to operate and work in you. Now, at the same time, for that to happen, it means that we've got to be growing in virtue in order to give up our will. Because it takes virtue, first of all, to surrender the will. But he says, even when you don't have all that virtue, when that's your choice, when that's your willingness to do that, then he says, I'd take the commitment and carry it out in you, even in spite of your own weakness and failures. And that's the great promise of this amazing gift. And so let's continue with February 22nd, 1921. God reposes in his own word. The three fiats of God are bound with the three powers of man in order to bring him back to the state of his origin. We can see how in these days of Louisa's life, in this last month or so, these last four passages, that there's a very particular theme that is developing here. And we see it so often in the writings of Louisa, that Jesus will, for several visits, you know, and he doesn't come every day. Louisa's obedience is to record what happens when he comes. So here it's been actually quite a while. It's been 6 days here. Sometimes it can be quite a while. It can be a few weeks. But here it's been about a week. It was a week before that. So over these days, he is talking about the three works of God, the three fiats or eras of God's working in creation. And now he's going to talk about how those correspond to us and to our humanity. And he says they are bound together with the three powers or the three faculties of man in order to bring him back to the way he was meant to live at the beginning, to his state of origin in the will of God. So Louisa says, I was in my usual state and my sweet Jesus remained completely silent. I said to him, my love, why don't you say anything to me? And Jesus answered, my daughter, after having spoken, it is my custom to be silent. I want to rest myself in my own word, that is to say, in my own work that came forth from me. Moreover, I did this in creation. After having said fiat lux, there was light. After having said fiat to all the other parts of creation, they came forth to life. I wanted to rest, and my eternal light rested in the light that came forth in time. It's a beautiful, profound statement. Jesus says, my eternal light, his own divine light, infinite light of God himself, wanted to rest in the created light that he had just made. And that's why there was a seventh day in creation. My love rested in the love in which I invested all of creation. And my beauty rested in all of the universe, which I tempered with my own beauty. My wisdom and power rested as well, in which I ordered everything with such wisdom and power that looking at it, I said, how beautiful is the work that came forth from me. I want to rest myself in that work. You see, why did God rest on the seventh day, the Sabbath rest day, which is a part of course, the Jewish observance of creation, and the story of creation is to rest out of on the seventh day. Why? Because God rested, and to rest in his creation. It's why work is forbidden, because of the rest, but also because now we're to enjoy this creation that God has given us. God wanted to rest in order to enjoy it. It's like when any of us does a you know, something we're happy about or proud of, we want to just look at it and see it and admire it and enjoy it. Well, that's what God was doing. So he says, my wisdom and power rested as well, in which I ordered all with such wisdom and power that looking at it, I said, how beautiful is the work that came forth from me. I want to rest myself in it. Likewise, I do this with the soul. And after having spoken, I want to rest myself and enjoy the effects of my word. So what Jesus is saying here is that he wants to rest in us as he rested in creation. After all, we are part of his creation. And so just as he rests in the beauty and the goodness of creation, what is more beautiful and holy and good that God created than our humanity, than our soul? We are the summit. We're the masterpiece of his creation. So he's saying, how beautiful is this work that came forth from me now. I want to rest in it, in this greatest of all works. And by resting in it, his own divine will is going to find its repose in us, in the soul that's living in his will. And after this, Jesus added together to Louisa, let us say a fiat. And then everything, heaven and earth, was filled with adoration for the supreme majesty. So Jesus invites Louisa, as he invites us, to say fiat with him. You know, it's a simple word, let it be. And yet it is a word when it is pronounced in the will of God, and the will of God pronounces it, that goes out to everything, even into God himself, and through all of creation, heaven, purgatory, earth. And that word resounds throughout all of creation. Again, Jesus repeated fiat, and the blood, the wounds, and the pains of Jesus rose and multiplied to the infinite. So not only does it resound in creation, but it resounds in the works of redemption, the second fiat of God in the one eternal fiat. See, the fiats of God are done in eternity as one eternal fiat, but they're done in time separately. Why? Because time, you know, things are broken up in time. So God created, he redeemed, he sanctified. Those are things that happen over the history of salvation. So he says, together let us say a fiat. And then everything was in all of the works of redemption was repeated in an eternal and universal way to give glory to God. And so then the blood, the wounds, and the pains of Jesus rose and multiplied to the infinite. And then a third time, fiat, and this fiat multiplied in all the wills of creatures in order to sanctify them. So the third fiat, of course, which Jesus says with Louisa, is now going to bring the sanctification to all souls of all times, as though all of them had lived in God's will. Of course, it will only have the effects to which they know of it and are able to participate themselves, correspond to it. But the fiat, nevertheless, has that power to be multiplied for all. And with that, let us take a short break now, music interlude, and just reflect a bit on this resting with God in his work, in your own soul and in my soul. And let us invite this fiat, the eternal fiat of God, to come and be one with our little human fiat done here in time and space here on earth. So welcome back as we continue with our program today. The Will of God and the Life and Writings of Luisa Picaretta. We're reading today from Volume 12, February 22nd, 1921. And Jesus is describing to Luisa how the three works of God that God has done in time, creation, redemption, and sanctification, which correspond to the three works of the Holy Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, how those are also related to us in our souls, because each of us in our souls has three powers or three faculties, we call them. We have a memory, an intellect, and a will. So Jesus goes on and he says to Luisa, "My daughter, these three fiats are the creating, the redeeming, and sanctifying fiats. But in creating man, I endowed him also with three powers, intellect, memory, and will. Moreover, with three fiats, I will complete the work of the sanctification of man. And by the creating fiat, the intellect of man becomes as though enraptured. And how many things he understands about me and about how I love him. The creating fiat being hidden in all created things to make me be known and to give him love to make me be loved. In the fiat of the redemption, the memory remains as enchanted by the excesses of my love in so much suffering in order to help and save man from the state of sin. And in the third fiat, my love wants to vent itself even more. I want to assail the human will. I want to place my own will as a support for his will in a way that the human will not only remain enraptured and enchanted, but be elevated by an eternal will, which making itself the support of all, man will scarcely be able to escape." So what he's saying is that he, you know, in creating us, he created the place in us, in our own souls, in which God himself is able to come and live. And so, as he's saying, first of all, in the three fiats, by the creating fiat, our intellect is enraptured by all that God has done. Our memory is able to remain enchanted, that is, enabled to hold on to this experience of God's love, which God has revealed in so much suffering and redemption, redeeming us. And then in the third fiat, God's love wants to pour itself out even more through the infinite power of the Holy Spirit. He says, "This generation will not end if my will does not reign on earth." And of course, just as he says to the apostles during the time he was on earth, "This generation will not pass away until they see the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory, until they see the kingdom established on earth." Why? Because it's already established in Jesus here on earth, in his person. And so the kingdom is already present in Jesus himself. So he says, "My redeeming fiat will put itself in the middle between the creating fiat and the sanctifying fiat. The three will blend together and will complete the sanctification of man. The third fiat will give so much grace to the creature as to make him return as if to his state of origin." Of course, this is the whole purpose of all of this and the purpose of the Book of Heaven, to call us back as creatures to the place, the order, and purpose for which we were created, which is the original grace in which Adam and Eve were created. "And then when I have seen man as he came forth from me, my work will be complete. And then I will take my perpetual, eternal repose in my last fiat. Only life and my volition will restore man to his state of origin. Therefore, be attentive and together with me, help me to complete the sanctification of the creature." You know, Jesus is now present in us, just as the Holy Spirit is and the Father as well. We have all three persons dwelling in us. So all of the works of God want to be completed. They need our cooperation, our correspondence with them for that to happen. That's what this is all about. On hearing this, Luisa said to Jesus, "My love, I do not know how to do as you do, nor as you taught me. and I will almost have a fear of your reproaches for not doing well what you want of me. So she says, I don't know how to do what you're doing. How can you invite me to do it when I don't know how? And she says, I'm almost afraid that you're going to reprove me, correct me, and punish me for not doing it well. And then Jesus, all goodness, said in reply, I also know that you are not able to do perfectly what I say to you. But where you do not reach, I will supply for you. However, it is necessary that you have courage, that you understand what you have to do, so that if you do not do all, you will at least do what you can. You see, God knows we're limited. Jesus knows we're not perfect. We're not absolute beings as he is. We're human. We're fallen. But he says, when you do the best you can with what you have, with your own limitations, then he says, I make up for all the rest. Rather, while I speak to you, your will remains as bound with mine, and you want to do what I tell you. You see, when we're in God's will, wanting to do his will, in his will, then he says, your will is so united with mine that whatever you do, you want it to be with me. And you want to obey me and do what I tell you. And so Louisa says, but how will this way of living in the divine volition be spread and taught to others? Who is there who will lend themselves to do this? Who will give themselves so completely as to let this work be accomplished in them? And Jesus' answer, always simple, my daughter, if by my descending on earth no one would have been saved, the work to glorify the Father would still have been complete. Sometimes we say, you know, Jesus has said, I would have come to earth and done all that I lived, all that I suffered, died, and rose just for one person to save them. Now he's saying, even if not that one person would have been saved, I would have still come to earth. Why? Because redemption was not just to save us, it was to restore glory to the Father that had been lost since the fall of Adam and Eve. This is ultimately the final end and accomplishment of what Jesus did through redemption. He restored that glory to the Father by his life of reparation, his death and resurrection. That was the purpose of his, to accomplish this mission for us, made it possible for us to be saved, because now the debt was paid, the ransom was paid, and so we could be saved. But ultimately, it was to do the will of the Father in restoring to the will of the Father all that had been lost. And so he says, even had no one been saved and nobody accepted it and wanted to be saved, I still would have come and gone through all of it out of love for the Father. You see, this is, I believe, is the very essence and heart of Jesus Christ and what redemption is all about. Yes, it's for our salvation, but most importantly, it was all done for the Father and to restore the glory of the Father. He says, likewise now, even if no one wants to receive this good, Louisa, like all of us, well, what is going to be the effects of what I do? Who's going to listen to me on the radio? Who's going to receive the gift I want to give? Who's going to listen to my teaching? And Jesus says, even if nobody wants to take it, which will not be the case, because he knows there will be many to receive it, as you are today. He says, you alone will be enough for me, and you alone will restore the complete glory that I want from creatures. Why? Not because Louisa's capable of that. She knows she's not. But because the divine will is capable of doing it as it did in Jesus, it's capable of doing it again in Louisa. It's capable of doing it again in you and in me, as hard as it is to believe, because we're so aware of our limitations and of our faults and failings. But Jesus is saying, it's not you that will do it. It is the divine will that will accomplish it in you. All we have to do, as he said before, take that little pebble, get rid of the obstacles of our human will, the ways in which our human will operates contrary to God and his will. And then he says it will all happen. It will all flow on its own. And you will see then that God's will is really being lived through you and in your life. Do we see it on earth? No, but we will see it in heaven. And so he's saying to Louisa, even if nobody else is going to live this way, the fact that you're doing it in my divine will is now known and loved and possessed again on earth as it was at the beginning, as it was in Mary and in Jesus. He said, that's enough. Why? Because that alone in one person will complete the love and glory, returning it to the Father from creatures here on earth, so that the will of God is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Only if one. So just imagine how pleased God is to see so many of you, so many people in the world now coming to learn and to do this and to live this way. Gradually, of course, we don't do it perfectly. We never do it perfectly, but we do it as best we can in the time that God's given us. So we continue now with March 2nd, 1921. So we have now, some days later, about another week again, or 10 days since the last visit. And this one begins, the third fiat will be as the rainbow of peace that will bring an end to the deluge of sin and which will reconcile and unite heaven and earth. See, this rainbow will be a rainbow that stretches from heaven to earth. From now on, Louisa must be occupied only with preparing for its coming, for its advent. Louisa says, finding myself in my usual state, my always beloved Jesus, on coming, said to me, my daughter, the third fiat, that is, my fiat voluntas tua, your will be done on earth as in heaven, will be like the rainbow that was seen in the heavens after the flood, which as rainbow of peace assured men that the flood had stopped, because rainbows only come when there's sunlight to refract in the particles of water that are still in the air. Likewise will the third fiat be, as it becomes known, loving, disinterested souls will enter in to have life in my fiat. So love and disinterest are the qualities needed, required of these souls. To love, of course, means to be disinterested. You can only love when you go beyond yourself, transcend your own self and your own desires to want the good of another, to want what the other wants. That's, in many ways, what love is. To want together with that other person, to will with the other person, is to be united in love. So he says, as it becomes known, these loving, disinterested souls who are no longer occupied or concerned about themselves will enter in to find life, their new life, divine life in the fiat. They will be like rainbows of peace, who will restore peace between heaven and earth. And they will avert the flood of so many sins which are inundating the earth. You see, they will be a sign of hope. They will be a sign of reconciliation between man and God once again. Why? Because the divine will is going to be operating and working to bring this about, which is, of course, what the life of Jesus was all about and the life of Mary. These rainbows of peace will have the third fiat for life. That is, the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification will be our very life. It'll be all that we want, all that matters. Thus, my fiat voluntas tua will have fulfillment in them. It will accomplish what it wants through us. Moreover, as the second fiat called me to earth to live among men, so the third fiat will call my will into souls. So the second fiat, which is the fiat of Jesus and Mary, so that redemption could be accomplished first through Mary in her giving her yes from the moment of her conception to God, in by the foreseen merits of redemption, Mary has given her fiat all throughout her life. And that fiat of the Son also is calling him to come to earth. So he says, the third fiat will call my will into souls. This third fiat of the Holy Spirit, just as the second fiat called Jesus to earth, it will call the divine will into souls, and there it will reign on earth as in heaven. You see, will it reign on earth perfectly as in heaven? No. Will it reign on earth in souls? Yes. Through many, many souls, more and more souls. You know, and that reigning in our souls is what it means to have that prayer of Jesus fulfilled. It will only be fulfilled perfectly when he himself returns to earth to fulfill it. But in the meantime, it will happen in us. And it might even happen perfectly in some souls. But it will be that reign of the will of the Father will be going on and will be coming here to earth in us and in our souls. That's the tremendous beauty of this gift. It is all interior, brothers and sisters. You won't see miracles necessarily, although there may be some. Louisa had a few in her life. We might still. But Jesus says the era of miracles is really over. That was the era of redemption. Miracles were needed and necessary in order to bring faith in Jesus Christ. And so the third fiat, however, is not so much an era of miracles because it's interior. You see, we already have faith in Christ. It's now bringing that faith to its completion and fulfillment through the gift of the divine will. Louisa says, later, since I was sad because of his absence, he added, my daughter, rise now, come into my will. I have chosen you from among thousands and thousands, so that my volition will have complete fulfillment in you, and you would be that rainbow of peace, which with its seven colors attracts others to have life in my will. See, it's using a metaphor there, the rainbow of colors, a variety of gifts and beauties that we find in this life in the divine will, he says, are going to be what attracts people. And isn't it true that there's something here that just draws us? You know, it may not be a visual beauty, but it's a spiritual beauty. We can see it, that beauty, with the eyes of our souls. Therefore, let us put the earth aside. Don't be worried about everything that's going on here. Up to now, I've had you together with me to satisfy my justice, to appease my justice, and to impede more harsh chastisements from raining down upon the earth. But now, let us run away from this current of human iniquity. Let's move away from all this human evil for now. And I want you together with me in my volition to occupy yourself in preparing the hour, that is, the coming of my will to reign on earth as in heaven. So he says, I want you with me. And that's why he says, whatever else is occupying you, whatever is taking your attention, you need to let go of it. And it doesn't mean that we're not aware of what's happening in the world. We don't live in isolation. You know, we're not hermits, most of us. Some of us may be. It's a wonderful vocation. But most of us are living in the world. We don't want to be absorbed by that world. As St. John says, have no love for the world or the things of the world. So we're in it, but we don't want to be absorbed by it and make that the preoccupation of our lives. No, he says, there's only one thing that matters now for you and for me, and that's to prepare for the coming reign of the divine will on earth. So that's where he wants us, brothers and sisters. That's our vocation and that's our mission, is to devote the rest of our lives, as St. Peter says, let's not waste any more time. Let's devote the rest of our lives to the coming reign of God's will on earth. And then Jesus says, as you will advance in the way, in this way of life, of my volition, there will be formed the rainbow of peace that will form the link of conjunction between the divine volition and the human volition. You see, humanity and divinity, heaven and earth, is going to be somehow brought together in this beautiful bridging of the rainbow of peace that he says is the effect of one living in my will. Why? Because now God's will is not foreign to earth. It's not something that we just do because God told us to do it. It's now something that's indwelling, that's living in us and in our souls, and is carrying out in us all that it wants. So he says, from this, my will is going to have life on earth, and it will have the beginning of the fulfillment of my prayer, that of the whole church. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's saying, as we grow in this, as we advance, each one of us together with Jesus and Mary and Louisa, then he says, it's going to spread. And then this reign of my will is going to be diffused more and more like that net. You know, Jesus is like a dragnet thrown into the ocean of the world and pulls in everything and then has to be sorted out. But the kingdom of God is going to be that net, you know, that internet that is spreading more and more across the globe to include, to bring into it more and more souls who are going to live this fullness of life in the kingdom of God's will as we were destined and created to do. Brothers and sisters, that brings us to the end of another passage and to our hour. Thank you for being with us today and for your interest in this beautiful way of life, this spirituality, this miracle of all miracles and gift of all gifts. May God help you. May the Holy Spirit enlighten you. This is the work of the Spirit of love. May God help you to know it, to love it, and possess it here on earth so that you may enjoy it forever in heaven. God bless you now. Keep you always in his will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.